Welcome back to the Zume Multiplying Disciples podcast, where we're on a journey to saturate the world with multiplying disciples in our generation. All right. Well, David, great to be with you today to get to talk about Zume and Zume's partnering with the Pray For movement that has happened just this past April and really every Ramadan season to see 24/7 prayer happening across Muslim cities and countries, people groups. So looking forward to just getting to hear some of the stories and even just the passion and heart for the impact prayer is making, and then even the work into prisons and other places that you've talked about. So yeah, David, why don't you kick us off with your choice, a story or a little bit about yourself, and I'm sure we'll circle back to all of that.
Well, sure. I just want to thank God and you and the folks behind you for the opportunity just to share. And I like to open it up with just saying simply, have I heard the good news? And if I have heard the good news, and then what am I saying about it? And that's what leads me on, is in Luke 2:10, it will say something like, heaven announced it this way, is that I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For today in the city of David is born unto you a Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord. Good news of great joy is what heaven said, and heaven has been poured into me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this good news, this drives me. And it's been, you can look back and see tracks of our life. And because of that, he's taken me and given me opportunity to speak throughout the world of his good news, actually in lots of countries. And I'm just, I guess what you'd call it, a regular guy. I'm a rancher and accountant, and God just says, will you go? And Paul would write, I believe, therefore I spoke, and I've had this good news. So that really drives my life. And the scriptures minister me because it is God speaking. I might read them, but I'm really listening. And it's my heartbeat. He is the Word. It is a person. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so I'm getting to know this maker, this lover of me, the good news himself. And he says it best. So I'll use scripture a lot, just because that's what he's put into me. That's who he is. And it's like you find a field and you found a treasure in it. So you joyfully sell everything and go buy it. Well, boy, when that treasure from heaven has been given me, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Like, you have it all. And so it drives me to say. And so that's kind of one drive on discipleship. On the other side is then, how can the eyes, so if you want this good news, if it is treasured by you, and you want other people to desperately have it, then prayer is the door. Prayer is actually your expression of love of God, and therefore love of people. And so it's just like knowing someone. That knowing is a Greek word, gnosko. Scholars out there can laugh at me. I'm not a big scholar. I'm just a regular guy. But it is to relationally know the person, the known thing. And so the more I'm with him and listening to him and talking to him, the more I know. And then the more I know his heart. And his heart says, and this was really during the Ramadan prayer, man, God convicted me really with two scriptures more this year. And he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And that he takes no pleasure that a man would die, but he would repent and live. And so if I want to join this one that I know and treasure, then I'm joining his desire, his heart. And so that drives me and invites me into talking to, agreeing with him, actually. So I'm walking with him. Jesus said, come follow me. It's an invitation to follow Jesus. Well, it's not just theoretical. It's not just an abstract idea. It is actually walking with him in agreement. And so, in fact, Philippians 1:5 would say this walking, this partnership, participation, joining in agreement in the gospel is being joined to Jesus. And so that's kind of my drive in life and my conviction in from Christ and how it lives out. But I think far as for me, I was raised in a rich gospel rich environment of centuries of Christians. But again, knowing about something isn't knowing it. And so having Jesus in this case. So at some point in time, then in all of our stories, to the born again or the unborn that might be listening, here's what it is you can have somebody talk to you, but man, when the Spirit of God opens your eyes that you may know something, in my case, from birth, but have you accepted him? Is he your treasure? Have you repented of not believing, as in Jesus is my Lord, my boss, the sovereign King, and put my faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of sin and life abundant, free, powerful by the Spirit to walk after him, being flourishing in that relationship with him? Well, if that hasn't happened for you, well, then it will come because he has poured the Spirit out upon the earth. And again, the need for prayer. So if I'm the lost guy, and so in your case, in the areas of Ramadan that I pray for, in the country that I pray for, there's over 12 million people. 99% of them haven't heard the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. And they are trapped in death. There is no way out. And that's the other compelling thing. So not only have the blessing of having the treasure, having it all, having the bucket loads of the treasures of heaven poured all over me. You know, God being rich in mercy, loved me with the greatest love while I was dead in my transgression. So while I was dark and dead, Christ died for me. And so in this case, out of those 12 million, 11,900,000 are dead. They will die forever. Now, knowing what I know of the riches of heaven and knowing the terrors of hell, and separation and the wrath of the one who spoke this into the world. Who would pray for me? What is worth more than that? What is worth more of my time and efforts and things that maybe the world pulls me away or the evil one pulls me away? Because it's a lie. There's nothing worth more. And there's nothing more in agreement with God that he has created man for his glory, Isaiah 43:7. And to restore that fellowship, there has to be the Holy Spirit that comes and convicts. Jesus would say it this way, I'm going to send him. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they do not believe in me. See, I am going away. I'm the God of myself. I am not bowing to the King. I am not listening. I'm not receiving. I'm not flourishing. I'm actually headed the wrong direction, deceived, thinking that this is happiness, thinking this is the answer. But I am running at death perfectly. They say there's no perfect man. There is only one perfect righteous man. But there is a perfect man because in unbelief, He will not miss hell. He will not, he will do everything exactly to be there unless God intervenes. The scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Proverbs 14:12. My best thought is death. I'm trapped. I'm doing it perfectly. God must intervene and open the eyes of my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. To what? Bring repentance unto salvation. Repentance is a simple word. It can mean turn, a change of mind, but it's actually a different mind. And so now I'm going, instead of going away, I can. Now, so discipleship is merely following Jesus. Well, if I'm walking to death, I'm not following Jesus. I have to have repentance to come, to turn me to God. To him, and so that I can follow him. So the power of the Holy Spirit to bring repentance, to grant it into my life, to turn me. And then so then that faith becomes active trust by believing in Jesus as Lord and then receive him as Savior. His saving, his payment, he will pay my death with his blood. And boy, if I'm that 11,900,000, why wouldn't I want somebody to? Well, I'm blinded, but wouldn't I want to, no matter what, if I knew the terrors of hell and the lack of this huge blessing and treasure, why wouldn't I have somebody petitioning for me? Like, wow. And then for a guy over here in nowhere, Oklahoma, I can participate in God's things halfway around the world for people that are not having what I have. And instead, they're controlled by the wicked master. And so that's a big heartbeat of mine. And then kind of how it ties into prayer is agreeing with him. And then prayer, period. And again, you need to break in because I can talk about this forever, actually. And thank God we have eternity, too. And but the word prayer in Hebrew, at least, you know, it's what Psalms 1 through 72 are all titled prayer and Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. And so it's a form, it's music to those words. It's actually worship. So when I'm praying, I'm worshiping, I'm showing the value of God to me.
Amen.
And so, man, to participate in that, and so it's also intercession. Well, man, I get to intercede. Revelation 5:8, I believe, it would say that these prayers are incense to God, like they're bowls, it's in it. And part of this expressing of value. So I do think as we connect more in prayer, then I think it brings a passion for people to know and to connect, because the Bible's written that you can know God. Well, that's why you see this dark to light theme in the scripture. Why do you have to have light? Well, so that you can see. Why do you need to see? So I can believe. And in this case, we're talking spiritually. And so Jesus would say, I'm the light of the world. Or he would say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so that you can see, that you can have life, not bio life, as in Zoe, full life, whole life, spiritual life, eternal life. And so as I connect to God, another big scripture that hit me that relates to that during Ramadan this year was, and I always just said, I pray through the cities and towns. So there's 24 governorates and 279 cities that I pray for. And so I do that, but then I pray in the Psalms, through the Psalms, and then just the Lord does something different each year. I've been so blessed. And usually my times are an hour to 2 hours, but God does amazing things. I just it's an intimate relationship thing. But Colossians 1:13 was just impressed on me, is that for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. And so I am interceding for those in darkness. I've been through this country a few times and prayed and met people and tried to share the good news of great joy. And so it just came to me as like, boy, there needs to be a deliverance. I have the thing. God called us in to make disciples. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations and all people. So, man, what a deal. So he's called me into, so in what he calls, he provides for. And so my part, unless I get other pieces given to me by him, is I can pray. And I don't have to be the sharpest guy, not professor in some seminary, which are more needed, or pastor, which are needed, but just me. Out there in nowhere, I'm joining God for these people to petition for them, to intercede for them. I want them to have what I have, and I love the one who gives it. And so,
amen.
That's kind of the driving point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great hearing your heart, David, and just, I think it really just is a great picture of even just why Zume and the Pray For movement work hand in hand. And so seeing the Pray For movement and just these resources around Ramadan and 24/7 prayer, but even just there's Pray For Florida and Pray For Maryland and just, you know, all over different countries, Pray For Lebanon. And so the mm-hmm. way that the prayer relationship with Zume, getting to learn these simple, reproducible tools and discipleship and principles, the way that both knowing prayer and knowing God goes hand in hand with knowing best practices and biblical principles. And so it's great just hearing your heart on that. Would love to hear just what are some of the stories of where you've seen, you've talked about taking pieces of Zume into prisons as you have been praying and being able to go into prisons and see those pieces happen, or even just how you have seen the two work in partnership together.
Sure. So I've done a prison ministry for 24 years. And when we started, there was about 19 or 20, and even less than that when originally started. But anyway, I was invited into this deal. So just going along, teaching the Bible and teaching obedience of it, nothing, no Star-Spangled Banner deal, no program, just reading and teaching and exchanging ideas from the Bible with these men. And then I had the opportunity to meet a couple of workers and that were on the spearhead of Zume, and was trained by one of them. And another one is one of my closest friends. And boy, it was handing me some actual tools, like, you know, to go with the Bible. And whether it's the SOAPs, you know, Bible reading, or how to spend an hour in prayer, man, I used that over and over. And then just what is the gospel, how to share it, 3-minute, 5-minute testimonies, getting the 3-on-3s together, because I can only be there for a little time. And then I go, and then my schedule was up to 2 to 3 times a week I was there, but it's still, I couldn't be there 24/7 walking this out with them. Well, as this went, as this is a testimony of God, and certainly not me, and certainly not them even, but as God would move and use these things and the power of prayer, prayer was a big part. 30 minutes of our time together was in prayer, and it grew in maturity. And, you know, we didn't pray, and it's good to pray for people's ills and broken angles and whatnot or situations. But when we started praying about people's souls, I knew things had changed. And then the group grew, Like it became to be 80 people in there, but then it grew. And as I taught more and more about disciples that make disciples and use more and more of, again, the backbone of Zume, then the guys would teach on their units when I'm gone. Well, so fast forward through these years, and then this thing is growing strong and the guys are getting out and staying with it. That transition is so hard and the communities are so varied. I stay connected as much as I can, not as much as I want, to help them and support them and encourage them to not, it's not the Christian religion that we're after. We're after the Christ of the religion. And so that means it won't necessarily conform with what you see out there. It is like, okay, you just need to go make connections with these people just like here and then make disciples. Anyway, so returning back to prison, we're going and it's going strong. And I'm thanking God for blessing. I'm thanking God for changed lives and guys that didn't read the Bible to now they're consuming it and sharing it and witnessing and living accordingly. And so then we get to the COVID time, and then, you know, we're doing 80 to 100 men coming there. So then refreshing each other, encourage each other in scripture and prayer, and then them going to the units, and then COVID shut down the prison. So this is the first major, I would call, the other was steady growth, but this is more like a movement deal. And so they shut it down, didn't let us guys come there. They actually shut them in their units. And I thought all the time, like, okay, we're going to find out. We're going to find out what's real. We're going to see what has landed in them about disciple making and disciples that make disciples. And so, gosh, it was a year and a half or more that we were locked out. And so I remember getting the email from the chaplain saying, hey, they're opening up. And so, man, I was excited. And it's about 45 minutes from where I live. And so, man, I was just thanking God, and I was just about burst out of my skin. But I would know, today I would know what the deal was. And so when I showed up, they can only be 120 in the chapel. So they had to let them four times. There are 50-something people. So it had grown from 80 to 100 to 220-something while I was gone. It was real. God was moving, and he was moving in their hearts. And since then, a lot of those guys have come out. One of them lives up here in this community, and he is just gangbusters in all of this. But so then the next movement of God happened, which really surprised me. And I thought, well, God, I'm going to meet you in this. They've asked me to increase my schedule to even up to four times a week up there. And so I'm sure I'll arrange my schedule. I'll do what it takes, and started that. And in 2 months, though, they ordered the prison to be shut down that I worked in. I don't work physically, but did ministry in. I thought, Lord, what are you doing? You know, man, I was so stoked, and man, we were so on fire, and things were just moving. And then so it took them a few months, I think 3 or 4, to get them all shipped out to other prisons. But see, that was the deal. I'm not the player here. God's the player. And he shipped them all to other prisons to do it. To make disciples there. And I've kept in contact with several of those. And they're holding the line. They're doing it. I'm trying to get some permissions to go there and reinforce. But man, that's one of the big testimonies that would really relate to Zume disciple making and those tools. So tools to be used. And it's for the king here, and it's out of love. And that's kind of the track on the prison deal. I still go down to one prison down south. In fact, I go down there Saturday and do some work down at this other prison now. And it's just now starting. So be my third visit down there. So that's kind of where we're at in there. So again, it comes back to, hey, go meet with people, go read the Bible, let the Holy Spirit work, pray. If you don't know, so we often ask this question. So you have to let the Holy Spirit convince your heart of that. And I'm hard-headed and hard-willed, and man, I get learning the hard way a lot. But you have to get a point where you let the Holy Spirit convince you, because we ask the question, how do you really help a man? And it's the gospel. Everything else is a lie. And that gospel is, hey, come follow me. I'm following Jesus, so come follow me. Here's the good news of great joy. I'll walk through with you. And thereby, again, giving them things to help their life in this. And kind of, I guess, clearly cut through some of the presuppositions and notions that they have about religion and denominations. And I clearly say, just like it's, we're going to lay that aside. We're going to submit to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to let Him lead. And that's the track, really, how Zume interacts. And then, so then how does that interact with the Pray For movement? Well, it's easy. So then I invite people. Man, this is good. So I thought, well, why not? Like, I took the sign-up sheets, and it was kind of a logistical nightmare. And then the team that works the Pray For deal, they really worked hard in helping it work out for me and them. And then, boy, man, had guys respond. Like, I just did a talk in front of our body of believers, and I forgot to mention the stat along with talking about the prayer for the night of power and Ramadan period, but the average Christian just prays 8 minutes is the stat. And I'm going, well, then maybe you need to get a partner, and then that you can go 16 minutes of the 15. But, you know, really it's more than that. But far as it's a bigger connection, obviously. We're talking about God's lifeblood between us. But man, those guys responded. They would they all get a slot, and man, we filled up a bunch, and it was so powerful. And then their testimonies of, wow, I get to be a part of this, and what God was showing them in it. And so that was that's one way it connected to the Ramadan prayer that we have, so that they may believe. And then we connect it, and I don't know fully if this lines up. I think everybody gets led. We are going one direction, but we link it with also praying for the folks that have responded to Christ in those areas, albeit few, very few in some, that the power of God gives them visions and dreams and hopes and desires that are based on His promises that do not fail. And it's one of the most radical promises in the Bible is love never fails. And we know from 1 John 4:8 that God is love. He does not fail. And that our circumstances sometimes, and our flesh is not redeemed yet. And so that's why we pray for them. Persevere, endure, builds that character. And character builds this unquenchable hope that does not disappoint, because the love of God through the Holy Spirit's been poured into your heart. And so we feel a real heartburn in that ministry to pray not only for those that are in darkness, but those that are the light there, the city on the hill that can't be hidden. And in their way and how God leads, but Christ is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So they're the sent ones. So we talk about apostles, it was sent. Jesus said, I was sent by the Father and I'm sending you. And that's how to be one with me. The Holy Spirit made the church to be the sending of God to the world. They are that. And I just, again, I put myself in their shoes. I ministered to pastors in rural India. And boy, they might have just accepted the gospel and now they're just by themselves. I think of that person. I think of those in these Muslim countries. And boy, they would feel secluded. But I pray that the eyes of their heart, they see these heavenly hosts, the warriors behind them, and that they see that spiritually, and that encourages them. And then they listen to God because he wins the war. In fact, the victory is won on the cross, and that they can carry that. So that's really how that relates. Some bits and pieces of Zume and the Pray For and with the prison work that I involved in.
That's great. Thank you so much, David, for taking the time to share just the significance of prayer and just the work into the prisons and just the power of God and just his heart for us and the way our heart can just be kindred even more towards the Father's heart and the heart for others through those times of prayer. So really appreciate just all that you have shared and poured out in this time together. So thank you so much.
Thank you for the privilege. Praise God.
Thanks for listening. To learn more, go to www.zume.vision. And to be equipped, go to www.zume.training. Have questions for the podcast? You can email them to podcast@zume.vision.